And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, April 8th, 2021. Good afternoon to you once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you with us here on another episode of Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. You can also find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It is all at Market Talk Ag. Our social media links are all on our website. You can find the links to all of our streaming sources, our YouTube channel, where you can watch the video episode of Market Talk, and also you can find all our great radio partners there as well. One sad note to pass along here today on the show. It's been a tough day here for the Market Talk family, as our behind the scenes, not a lot of folks know the behind the scenes. They just hear me, see me on the program. But our great friend and my business partner, Randy Happel, passed away earlier this week. And sad news, a great man. This show would not be where it is at now today without his help behind the scenes. And he was a champion of agriculture for many years, his work with NAMA and other agriculture organizations and agencies. And our thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to him and his family. Put a picture up on the video screen there. Randy was a great guy, and really I'm forever indebted to the work that he did to help grow Market Talk here before his passing. So our thoughts and prayers are with his family and loved ones. All right, well, we will segue out of the sad news today. We'll talk the market trade. It was a really strong day in the markets, especially on wheat and corn here today. And soybeans kind of tagged along as well. We're heading into a WASDE report tomorrow. Very interesting to see what we're going to get tomorrow. But today, so far, was a very strong way to head into that report tomorrow. Let's talk about it. Let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, good afternoon to you. And like I was saying, a really, really strong day in this grain market today, John.
Yeah, it was a good day for grains. Wheat market kind of let us out, maybe took the cap off the top of the corn markets as we saw those old crop contracts really push forward today. You know, some of that's some positioning for the report tomorrow. And that makes us a little cautious when you rally up this aggressively going into numbers. If those numbers aren't there, do we see that profit taking? Now, the last couple of reports in terms of the USDA WASDEs or the supply demands, you know, we've rallied into them or the day of or the day after, and then we've turned around and taken profits out and had some pretty good pullbacks. So I'm a little cautious there. You know, obviously we're counting on the USDA to make some changes. If we don't see those numbers change, you know, this market might just go back to the bottom of the range again. But yeah, definitely an impressive day going into report numbers tomorrow. And again, really like what that wheat market was putting together today, even technically on those charts.
Let's talk about that wheat market. I think that's a good place to start because that seemed like the consensus leader today. I know that dryness is getting worse in the Northern Plains, extending into the Canadian prairies. Spring wheat, a lot of producers up there. You know, if they can't get wheat in this planting window, there's talk they might switch to soybeans or other crops that have a longer planting window. And that seemed to be the fuel to the fire today for the most part. Is that what you're hearing? Is it mainly weather concerns that are driving this wheat market higher today?
Yeah, it basically was today. And like I said, along with the technical side after things kind of pushed higher. But yeah, those weather concerns of both the Northern Plains and the Southern Plains are factors that we're really keeping an eye on. You know, we got the crop ratings this week for winter wheat. You know, they were pretty solid at, you know, 53% good to excellent, down some from last year at this time frame, but there's still that portion of poor to very poor that's out there. And drought monitor maps continue to show, you know, the dryness in that region, and the forecast don't look exactly favorable longer term again. You know, and then you move to those Northern Plains, which is really dealing with some dryness concerns. And, you know, you already got a spring wheat crop that's dealing with an acre battle with beans and corn. And now we throw some dryness issues in there too. This market's just trying to make sure we plant some acres and get some acres motivated to get in the ground, even despite the conditions. And you go look at that spring wheat chart over the last couple of sessions, we've had one heck of a breakout on that spring wheat, now coming back and possibly challenging those contract highs. You know, I think that'll be something to really keep an eye on, because we could see the spring wheat really lead this market higher, you know, despite what we're seeing globally. You know, globally, we're still seeing solid production. We're still seeing some price issues in terms of prices trending lower on some of the Black Sea region and European wheat. And that's what's been putting the pressure on the U.S. market. But again, now here comes the weather. And obviously with corn prices where they are, the competition for feed demand may come into the wheat market a little bit more too. And that all just adds a little bit more fuel here for domestically priced wheat versus corn.
Well, and you got to look at wheat, and I just pulled up some cash numbers up in North Dakota right now. I mean, $5.90 for April wheat cash price there for spring wheat compared to that futures price, $6.40 and a quarter at the close today. To me, it would just seem like if I'm a producer, maybe trying to look at some marketing options on wheat up there in the Dakotas and other areas, it would make sense to maybe look at trying to sell into some of these rallies and or at least get a floor underneath you with a price jump like this.
I would agree. You know, we're still looking at a global wheat supply that can still weigh heavy on terms of price overall. So that's still something we always got to keep an eye on. You know, we're not one of the world suppliers of wheat in terms of number one or number two, like we are with corn and beans. You know, so there's a lot of competition, whether it's the Black Sea region, Europe, Australia, you know, South America. You know, we're kind of four or five on the list. So even though we're getting some price reaction now, that's a good opportunity for producers to make sure you're staying disciplined with your sale targets. If you don't want to make the sales, make sure you use some of those put strategies. Make sure we build that floor underneath because, you know, obviously if we do have a volatile summer in the grain markets overall, you know, I'd rather see puts go worthless and keep your bushels open. So, you know, again, just stay disciplined, find prices that work for you, set some targets, make sure they go from there, and then ask yourself, what's your risk and how do I position myself accordingly if you want to stay in the market?
Let's shift to corn, and that was the other strong market today, that old crop market, really the top kind of open there. And I know cash basis is really strong, as well as, you know, we're getting those demand rumors out of China again, and shipments were very strong today. Let's start there with the corn conversation. What did you see out of some of those news items that really popped this top off the corn market today?
Well, you know, first off, weekly export sales come out every Thursday, so we always get to kind of cover that. And you mentioned that shipments have stayed strong. We're staying near that 2 million metric ton total on a weekly basis. Now it's about, what, 5-6 weeks in a row we've seen that number come out. So that just tells us we're getting this product move at a very strong pace. That keeps strength into that cash market overall. We're trying to get these bushels to those ports and get them moving, you know, and that's helping aid in that market. With that, too, you're looking at an old crop market that's probably stronger sold on the producer side than we've seen historically in this window, given the strength of grain prices since the fall. You know, so there we're just starting to see some reflection of that older old crop supply being extremely tight. So there's no sellers to go against the market like today when we saw May trade near limit higher. You know, commercials are heavy on the short side, so they're getting caught in a little bit of a squeeze. And again, there's just nobody there to sell against this market at this time frame. So keep an eye on that cash basis. That's a natural underlying support underneath. I'm looking at the National Corn Index trading around the 551 window today. So that builds a little bit of a floor. You know, and then we didn't even touch on what could be the sleeper of the summer, which is the ethanol demand and what's happening in that market. Yesterday, we got the weekly ethanol stocks number. You know, we're continuing to see usage running slightly above where the USDA is, you know, requiring to hit those totals for ethanol usage. Biggest thing to me was, where are the ethanol stocks? The supply of the ethanol in storage is getting extremely tight. We've got an economy that's starting to open back up. I think we've got a lot of pent-up interest for driving. Plus, you got an administration that's looking for green energy and green type economy, which is going to put some more strength into that ethanol demand. You know, so we're seeing some movement there, and that could be a bit of a sleeper for the summer. You know, if you saw last week, you know, ADM opened up two plants in Iowa. Yeah, and they're grinding full speed already and getting things moving. And that's just going to add more to that domestic battle for price and for bushels, you know, especially since that corn's in center Iowa, which was affected by that derecho over the summer.
Well, and you mentioned Iowa as well. I just looked at some cash bids there, and you mentioned national average around that 550 mark. We're even seeing some 560 cash numbers in Iowa. So, I mean, basis very, very strong. And you know, you mentioned ethanol there, a sleeper market for corn. I think as well, weather, you know, we're looking at dryness across parts of the plains, not really affecting corn and soybean planting yet, but we're also hearing more weather concerns in Brazil. And that seems to be something that's driving this corn market as well, John.
Yeah, that'll be a summer issue and something that'll come into the new crop corn price, maybe more than the old, at least in the shorter and the longer term. But yes, we're seeing dry conditions kind of continue to build in some of those key producing areas for that second crop corn is in the ground. You know, first off, they're still wrapping up their production in terms or their harvest, excuse me, in terms of soybeans. So that means there's going to be a good portion of this crop that's going to be planted outside the ideal window. Now they're still sticking it in the ground because of the price of that's offered out there. So that's going to be something we have to watch. Now, if this dryness persists, we're going to start seeing some reductions in terms of that crop for the summer months. Those are going to be bushels that won't be in the export market and will still be the major player in town in terms of that between us and Argentina. You know, because Brazil, if they still need to be a bit of a corn importer, again, that just opens up a lot more opportunities for us to maintain our demand strength and keep prices supported. So there's a lot of little pieces that are still working out here. Right now, I don't have anything in this market that's really got me cautious in terms of being on the bullish side of things. I mean, obviously, USDA report coming out tomorrow that's going to cause some volatility. You know, but in my mind, you know, we get the numbers, the market trades it out, and then we come back to what's really important, what's happening with cash and what's going on there.
And it would seem with the strong cash numbers and the strong futures numbers as well in corn, it would make sense, like you've mentioned time and time again, to leave that top side open if I'm doing any corn marketing. But also, you know, if I'm a farmer who hasn't made a whole lot of old crop sales, I mean, man, staring at a 560 cash price, it almost seems like it's time to maybe stop being greedy there just a little bit, John.
You know, we keep talking about staying disciplined and moving bushels into these higher prices. And, you know, and again, you got to reward yourself because you never know when a black swan event comes. You know, I'm talking pretty optimistically here again. And obviously the price movement today makes me feel that way. And, you know, we got the acre number last week from the USDA and how that keeps playing out into this. And, you know, there's a lot of little pieces that are friendly at this time frame. It doesn't take much to flip a market over if it feels like it's enough. Don't forget, we're still probably pushing 400 plus thousand long corn contracts, which is near, if not even a record at this time frame. We know it's getting close to that 2010 total. You know, but with that, like I said, you got good value. You know, I mean, shoot, here's a 20 cent update for you today. You know, or you're looking at those summer prices. I knew you mentioned that Central Iowa. I was looking at those Cedar Rapid basis levels. They're 20, 25 over for summer delivery corn. You know, there's some great spots to start locking in some decent value. You know, and if you want to stay in the market, you don't have to spend a lot. Just pick up some way out of the money calls. Again, those what if scenario calls. If we do hit weather and the next thing you know, this thing races back to 2012 highs, you've got something in place. You know, otherwise you keep making incremental sales, set some targets. We move a little higher. You move some more bushels. You're going to have a heck of a base built for yourself before you know it. You know, same thing on the new crop corn side. You know, I'd like people to get at least some bushels moving in here. You know, again, set those targets, move some bushels. Today I was buying calls all the way out till March, picking up $6 calls there just to keep ownership over top of those new crop sales. My theory is we got a lot of corn to move between here and there, but if this thing blows out to the top side next winter, at least we got something in place that we're not kind of kicking the dirt that we missed out on a pretty big opportunity by selling too early. So that's my thought process, at least in terms of the you know, new crop corn. And then don't fall asleep on 2022. We're trading around the 460 area. Boy, that sounds like a heck of a place to start getting the toe in the water for some bushels for even the next year, because this market's going to give you those opportunities for multiple years out here. You know, 460 is your worst sale in 2022. You know, working a longer-term hedge to arrive, or, you know, even just holding a hedge that far out, may not be just a bad place to, like I said, to at least get the toe in the water and start thinking about the longer term picture as well.
Good thoughts there. Very, very good thoughts to consider. Soybean market briefly, just seemed like I got pulled along by quarter wheat today. That meal market looked a little weak though. It kind of held this soybean market in check as we head into tomorrow's report. Anything you saw there today?
Well, it came down to the export numbers today. We did have actually net cancellations on old crop beans. It was 3 million bushels, which isn't a lot. And realistically, given the tight supply picture, we could use a few million bushels getting canceled and coming back to us. And then we also saw some movement by China. They canceled some old crop supplies, but they did roll them into new crop supplies. So, you know, they still kept the ownership and just moved the destination time. So that was some of what probably weighed on that soybean market today overall, was just the fact that, you know, in the market's mind, maybe we're shutting demand off here at these levels. I'm going to disagree with that longer term, because realistically, given the supply picture where we are, you know, we still got, I still don't think this market's totally priced in or figured in where we are in the supply picture. Now, we'll see what the USDA does tomorrow. They continue to kick the can down the road, keep a, you know, not printing a tighter carryover, keep it around 120. Market might be a little disappointed by that. We'll have to see how that plays out. You know, realistically, I think maybe they're just afraid to put that number out there and get sub 100 because of what it might do in terms of market price. They still want to keep some demand moving, especially into that 21, 22 numbers, you know, in terms of marketing years. So we don't need a rush to $16 here, but, you know, eventually it still feels like this market wants to go higher, you know, because every time we get a little bit of a softening in the market overall, you see the buyers step right back in.
Very, very true. Let's switch our conversation to livestock here today. And starting on the cattle front, I know feeder cattle were kind of weighed on by higher corn prices today, but overall, not a terrible day in the cattle market. Cash trade continues to just get better and better, I think, as the days go on here. John, that really seems to be the strength right now in cattle.
Exactly. Actually, the strength is coming on that retail demand. You got $260 choice carcasses out there. Select carcasses are up $8 at midday today. So that tells you something's going on in terms of the demand side of the equation. You know, weekly export sales numbers around 18,000. That's consistent. So that's, you know, still a friendly number overall. So that keeps them just optimism in the market. You know, today we kind of saw a little bit of mixed trade on the front end. I think that's a little bit more due to the fact that we're in delivery on those April cattle right now. We're seeing some cattle get delivered against the market, so we're getting some retendering possibly coming back into June. A little bit of index rolling, in other words, index funds getting out of short positions in April, moving them into June and August. So that's probably some of the pressure that we're seeing there. But right now, the fundamentals in this cattle market look extremely strong. New contract highs from October to the end of the, you know, the board today again. You know, feeders, yes, they're being pressured by that grain market. Plus, you know, we got to be cautious. Last time we got a grain report, we were limit higher. Feeders were almost pushed limit down. You'll see seeing some squaring up probably going into that report, just hedging their bets in case we do get a bullish corn number tomorrow and a bullish reaction to it. But right now, I like this cattle market. I like where we're headed. You know, we're kind of at a crossroads. You go look at some of these longer term charts in cattle. We're sitting near 5-year highs on prices, and we're actually breaking through some of those upper barriers. So to me, how this month finishes out is going to be key. If we stay strong into the end of April, you know, we're going to probably carry this even further out than we anticipate, opening up some pretty good price levels that are well above where we are at this time frame. You know, if all of a sudden we see things kind of calm down, then maybe we do hit the top, and that could put us at a pause and, you know, get us rolling back to a bottom side, you know, for maybe a summer low. We'll have to watch. But both lives and feeders right now are sitting right on a point where you can see the money just pour in technically and really drive this market higher, being led by the fundamentals.
Well, speaking of fundamentals, let's shift to hogs. Seems like the fundamentals are still remaining strong in this hog market. We were up decently today. What are you seeing in this hog market? You know, because we were kind of waiting to maybe push this thing a little higher as we kind of fell into a little bit of a range here the last couple of weeks. But still, it seems like a very bullish undertone to this hog market, John.
Yeah, I don't think this market's done yet. You know, you go look at what June put together today, new contract high again, weekly export sales back to a 33,000 level, which is kind of consistent. Like we're talking in cattle, you know, last week, 60,000 plus was a bit of a blip on the radar, but it really got this market moving. You know, there's a lot of little things that continue to work here. We're talking about those domestic fundamentals, you know, retail prices look like they stabilized a little bit last week around 108, 109. All of a sudden, here we are last 2 days, boom, we're up a couple bucks. Now we're up through 110 today. So maybe we're on the next leg on the retail demand side of things. You know, the cash market continues to be extremely strong. The index is over 100 points now. Again, it just doesn't look like this market wants to slow down at this window. And then add to that a little bit of news out of South Korea. They actually are going to lower pork import tariffs down from 30% to 5% on what they call their minimum volume in terms of imports. That's up to about 400,000 metric tons. After that, then it goes to a different tariff level. But that's even getting lowered down from 40% to 10% for the next 3 months. So that just shows you, you know, they're dealing with their own issues with African swine fever. They're going to be looking for pork. It's a bit of a story in that region of the world. And, you know, we're still one of the best providers out there. You know, even on those weekly export sales today, China wasn't a big factor because they bought a lot last week. But Mexico stepped up and picked up 23,000 of the 33,000 tons last week. So, you know, as much as we like seeing that Chinese import stay strong, it's the fact that we're seeing good strength out there from our traditional buyers, Japan, Mexico, South Korea. You know, that just tells us that there's some room for this pork price to continue to move higher. And here we are again, contract highs in every month today, with the exception of the August. Not sure what was going there, just probably a little bit of spreading, and that was being the sell month given the calendar. But the hog market at this time is still searching for a top, and the fundamentals are still telling us we're working higher.
A lot of things to consider. John, any other final thoughts you have for us today?
Well, you know, again, keep an eye on those outside markets. Watch what the U.S. dollar is doing. It looks like it did kind of roll over a little bit here, maybe hit a bit of a peak. So that's going to be friendly overall in the news. You know, we got to just watch and just pay attention to the volatility that's here. I keep talking about it. Set targets. Stay disciplined. Use put strategies to protect the premium that's in all of these markets right now, and just go from there. You know, another market we didn't touch on today is that milk market. Okay, it's starting to see the same impacts that we're seeing in the livestock and dairy sector. Big strong move this week in terms of like the May futures pushing through the $19 per hundredweight barrier. Again, that's just reflective of that opening up of the food service restaurant trade that we're seeing across the country, as now some of the demand for cheese is here, even despite some of the stronger milk production. So a lot of things happening right now. And I hate to say it, I don't think the volatility is going anywhere, at least the way the money's flowing. I still think the strength's going to stay in the majority of these commodity markets in the short term.
Well, John, if producers need any advice with all the volatility going on and the strength that's there, and they want to reach out to you, I know they could do that by finding out more by contacting Total Farm Marketing. You guys got a great website, a lot of tools for producers to take advantage of, or a phone call as well.
Yeah, I'd love to chat with them. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And like you mentioned, our website, totalfarmmarketing.com, has got a lot of great information. We'll have a webinar that we're putting together here after the USDA numbers come out tomorrow. You know, get online, sign up for that, and get some information there. You know, it's going to be key. Keep telling producers this. Just call if you got questions. You don't have to worry about opening an account if you just got some things you want to put in front of us, then we go from there. But right now, it's going to be about information and seeing what's out there, looking at all the alternatives that are in front of you that you can add into your marketing plan. Just make sure you keep an open mind about what's available to you.
John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Jesse, and have a great week yourself.
John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Thursday, April 8th edition of the show. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day.